This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, June 30th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers released a joint proposal earlier this year that outlines changes to the Clean Water Act. Two EPA officials were in Hotchkiss Thursday to talk about the proposed changes. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The North Fork of the Gunnison River flows through southwestern Colorado. It's a waterway that feeds into the Gunnison River, a tributary for the Colorado River, which supplies drinking water to millions of people in the West. The North Fork is protected by the Clean Water Act under the definition of waters of the U.S. The EPA and Army Corps plan to change this definition. Under the current language, navigable waters like the Gunnison River, territorial seas, interstate waters, impoundments of water like reservoirs, tributaries, and wetlands adjacent to waters of the U.S. are protected under the Clean Water Act. More than 100 organizations and the Supreme Court have asked the EPA and Army Corps to revise the definition because it's confusing. Two EPA officials from Denver recently visited the western slope of Colorado to talk about the proposed changes. Nearly 30 people attended the meeting hosted by the Western Slope Conservation Center, a water advocacy group. EPA stream biologist Julia McCarthy gave a presentation on the revisions.
So I wanted to start really broadly because I recognize that there's varying levels of understanding about what the Clean Water Act is, what's exempt from the Clean Water Act, and how the Clean Water Act is currently implemented.
McCarthy says the changes will modify three parts of the Waters of the U.S. section of the Act.
Right now, there is no definition of tributary in the existing regulation, and so the proposed rule adds a definition of tributary, which defines a tributary as a water that has a bed and bank in ordinary high water mark that contributes flow to downstream traditionally navigable waters, interstate waters, or territorial seas. But it's the first time that that will be defined explicitly in the regulations.
The revisions also say adjacent or neighboring waters would be subject to regulation, and adjacent waters would include all waters, not just wetlands. Wording about interstate waters that affect commerce will also be removed, and a new term will be added, other waters, defined as waters that are isolated from other bodies of water, like prairie potholes that occur on the Great Plains. These other waters would be regulated if they affect another protected water source.
And then also what's changing is this piece where we've added certain water features and these two types of ditches as explicitly exempt from the definition of waters of the U.S.
McCarthy says under the revisions, it's also made clear that groundwater, gullies, and artificial ponds created on dry land are not regulated by the Clean Water Act.
You mentioned an exemption is return flows from irrigated agriculture. Does that
Paul Kaymeyer farms alfalfa in the area and says he attended the meeting to learn how the changes could affect his livelihood.
I think that it was good to hear clarifications, and my impression is that the EPA is trying to help define things more clearly so that both the farmers and the Army Corps can function more efficiently in the permitting process in our various farming activities.
Ranchers, conservationists, water managers, and property owners were also at the presentation. Carrie Dennison, who works for Trout Unlimited, a conservation group, says he's for the changes.
I hope and I think that it's going to provide guidance for the regulatory bodies, including the Army Corps of Engineers, on how they handle case-by-case situations and how they designate waters of the United States so that it removes some confusion between the Army Corps and water users.
At the session, EPA officials stressed that the Clean Water Act is about quality and not quantity. They say the act and the proposed changes don't affect how states allocate water. McCarthy says the agency wants to hear what people think about the proposal, and that's why they are putting on informational meetings.
A riparian area or a floodplain out here in the Grand Mesa area is going to be very different than a floodplain on the lower Mississippi River. So, you know, we want to make sure that the definitions that are being provided in this rule are applicable and make sense for the types of resources that we have here in the West.
People have until October 20th to comment on the proposal. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Colorado's economy and job growth are already shaping up to play a central role in this fall's gubernatorial race. As Benta Berkland reports, both candidates are using their own figures to assess how the state is faring as it recovers from the recession.
According to nonpartisan legislative economists, the state's economy is gaining steam. And Governor John Hickenlooper is quick to point out that at 5.8%, the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in years.
We're all on the same side when it comes to creating jobs, and how do we do that most effectively? How do we create an environment in communities, an ecosystem, where, you know, there's enough capital, there's enough, the workforce is ready and trained?
Hickenlooper has made it a major focus of his administration to try and foster a welcoming environment for entrepreneurs. He created the Colorado Innovation Network, or COIN, a privately funded entity that aims to bring together businesses and academia to create new ventures. He's also behind efforts to build a new state brand and logo to attract companies and startups.
You've got to create an environment, an ecosystem where entrepreneurs are celebrated. Bob Beaupre comes at with a perspective that everything government does pretty much is wrong. You know, there is a difference there. Now, that being said, once the election's over, I think Republicans and Democrats and independents, everybody's got to work together.
I see a lot of opportunity that's been lost.
That's Republican gubernatorial challenger Bob Beaupre. The former two-term congressman acknowledges the state is on an upward economic trajectory, but says he wants it to be even better.
When did good become good enough? I mean, even the raw number, 5.8% unemployment, 5 years into a supposed economic recovery, we ought to be talking full employment right now. We ought to be talking an economy growing at twice the rate it is right now. But if you ask people what's holding us back, they'll tell you, government.
Colorado State University political science professor John Strayer says he thinks economic attacks against Hickenlooper could be a tough sell for Beaupre to make, in part because the state's economy is doing better than the nation's.
Things really look pretty good. I think the argument serves Hickenlooper better than it does Beaupre. Now, you can also argue whether or not, even though the economy is improving, whether Hickenlooper did that. I think it's always reasonable to ask whether or not the chief executive all by himself or herself is responsible for either an uptick or a downtick in the economy. There are so many other factors that complicate that.
Beaupre is also criticizing Hickenlooper for keeping unnecessary regulations on the books and pushing for stricter rules against the oil and gas industry, such as efforts to curb methane emissions. But overall, there is little daylight between the two when it comes to oil and gas policy. Both oppose proposed local control ballot questions on drilling, and each is a strong advocate for responsible drilling and fracking. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.